In Wes Anderson's film, The Darjeeling Limited, three brothers depart on a journey of spiritual awakening across India aboard a train. It's a difficult time as each of them is going through his own crisis, and they are hiding that from each other. Each of them is depressed and somewhat self-obsessed. However, in a final scene, as their journey comes to an end, they are out on some godforsaken platform, and the train begins to leave without them. And so, running after the train, they drop all of their luggage and are able to jump on at the last minute, finally laughing with some self-awareness and joy. They literally dropped their baggage. It's a bit of a heavy-handed metaphor, but it's not Wes Anderson's best film. However, it is a fitting image, because each of us has something that we are called to leave behind, something that weighs us down. The widow had her mite that she put into the treasury. And we have to understand that at the treasury, it was in a courtyard where people all milled around, and there was a huge horn in the middle. And as you drop coins in, it would clang. And so rich people would come with sacks full of coins and pour them in, and there would be all this clanging, and people would applaud and think how great they are. The widow's mite, a mite was a very thin coin, the thinnest of all of them. It wouldn't have made any sound, and nobody would have paid any attention. And she did it by herself, without anybody noticing, and she gave until it hurts. And that's about as close to perfection as we can get in giving a gift, a pure motive. Because really, any time we give a gift, it's hard to do it with a completely pure motive. Even the martyrs who gave their lives achieved something in the kingdom of heaven. The only truly perfect gift with nothing in it for the one who gave it was Christ's gift upon the cross. He gained nothing. In fact, not even our loyalty. We betray him all the time in spite of what he did for us. But he did it out of love, pure love. He didn't even do it for the kingdom of heaven or the beatific vision, because he is the beatific vision. It was the perfect gift. But the widow's mite was pretty close to being the perfect gift as well. And the perfect man noticed that day. Now we know that the amount that one gives is not the important thing, but the spirit with which he or she gives. Of course, when speaking of money, the amount clearly does matter on some level. When I was a seminarian, I made a small stipend each month. And when I was ordained a priest, I got a salary. And I realized that I was now making about 6 times as much as I was as a seminarian. It's still not a lot. But I also realized that months later, only recently really, that I was still giving the same amount as I was giving when I was in the seminary. In other words, I had put my self-sacrifice on autopilot. I was giving the same little bit each month. And so I had to readdress that, not only because, out of justice, because what God gives us is not truly our own, and so we give back a portion of that to charity, but also because it made me actually think about what I was doing. I wasn't just automatically doing it. I was becoming an intentional giver. But the widow's mite is not only about giving money. Philanthropists can give away fortunes, but find it impossible to forgive a spouse or take time away for prayer. So each of us has something that God today is asking us to give. We each have our own widow's mite. And what might that be? Sorry. Is there somebody that we can't forgive? Are we so enslaved by our own busyness that we can't give God at least some time in prayer? Do we find it so hard to pull ourselves away from sports or sleep that we find ourselves missing Mass? I do think in an area where there's such an emphasis on possessions, status, pay grades, that we should look at what we're giving to charity. It took me months to consider how much more I was making and acting accordingly. But it's something that we should do regularly, because that's what makes us intentional givers, not just fulfilling some sort of obligation we feel. To give until it hurts does not always mean money, though sometimes it does. Only we ourselves, with the help of the Lord, can discover what that widow's mite is in our lives. But the measure of giving is before us. Jesus is as present on the altar today as he was in that courtyard 2,000 years ago. He is gazing into each of our hearts the same way he gazed at the widow. He knows what we're holding back from him, and he's waiting for us to turn that over to him. How much lighter will we feel when we're divested of that heaviness? Perhaps light enough to rise with him into the kingdom of heaven.